Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Raiders drop back deep. Rodgers quick toss left side. Got his man first down. Extending down the left sideline and heading on his way. It is MBS. No one will catch him. Touchdown Green Bay.
I feel like this has been coming. I really do. I feel like we've been building and I've been feeling a lot more comfortable. And Matt's been feeling more comfortable with him calling it for me and feeling when I'm in that rhythm and when to be aggressive and when to pull back.
I don't think there's a set time, though. I know people want time. I don't think you can do that with this injury.
Is he ruled out for this week, though?
Yeah, we're going to just see how he does. And, I'd probably say it'd be a stretch for him to get there, but it's he's working hard and, from the information that we've had this to this point, he's doing what he can do, and we'll just see.
What?
And now, not buying it for a minute, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay, right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I don't get it. Sweat the things that matter. I don't get it. Okay. I mean, so you can't be like it's on this one. Are we going to hear later that, kind of like the things that leak out about Eric Berry, he didn't really want to play. He didn't want to be like, is that going to, we going to, so if we go like he's a maybe for like 4 weeks or all the way till after the bye, are we going to get some song and dance about how Mahomes just didn't want to go?
Spirit.
Spirit
didn't feel it.
Okay.
I mean, it was a lot of people throwing out the Dark Knight from Monty Python, it's just a flesh wound.
Yeah.
And he would be like, flesh wound.
Yeah.
Your arm's off. No, it's not. That's the Chiefs. He's still questionable. It's possible. He has no legs. Still possible. We don't know.
I don't know. I just, listen, there are a lot of people I've spent a lot of time, guys, I said, let's open with Mizzou. Let's start with Mizzou. And here I am talking Chiefs to get things going. But you can grab a phone line if you want in on the conversation. Let's go. It's the rare Monday where we don't have a game to break down. So we've got a lot to really put out there with Missouri melting down at Vanderbilt. Kansas, a moral victory. And it is that. It's a moral victory. That's a step up.
It is.
I heard somebody today said, I think Nate was telling the story, had a friend say, I'm tired of these moral victories. How can you be tired of them? You haven't had one.
Right.
Like 10 years. Would you wonder? Like, okay, I guess you've had a couple. You back-assed into one against TCU last year. So you've had a couple. You're not tired of moral victories in Lawrence.
Yeah.
You aspired to them, and now they're coming around.
Then you hope the moral ones become actual ones, like happened at Boston College.
Yeah, yeah.
Or as Ali Trost said to me, she's like, I would trade seasons as a Missouri fan with Jayhawk fans in a heartbeat. I'm like, what? This is our first season where we've had like four wins, possibilities in 11 years.
You've got two. You've still got a long way to go to get to four.
I was saying possibilities.
No, I know.
Yeah. That's
a thing. And you're like, four. Yeah.
Unless you mean no heartbreak because there's never any expectations. That's
no,
possible.
But tremendous performance out of the Jayhawks.
Yes.
And then great performance out of the K-State Wildcats.
Yep.
Dead and buried, left by the side of the road. I was so mad, and I was looking at them, like, they were only getting 3.5. Like, Vegas was begging you to bet TCU. And sure enough, stupid here, in the picks, okay, give me TCU.
And then
the Cats.
On a very special Missouri Tiger football.
Yeah.
The Tigers fall apart.
That's just awful. It's awful. I mean, it's so Missouri.
Yes.
Everyone talks about the Chargers loss, that they chargered it up, that they tigered it up.
It's even beyond that, because sometimes to go full Missouri, there has to be some hope within a game. And to me, there was literally none in Saturday. I mean, it's one thing to have a team that lost, they got rolled by UNLV, you know, kick your ass for 54 minutes. But then when you need to make one stop to have a chance to let the other team with their backup quarterback just shove it down your throat for the last 6 minutes, that's a different thing. That's the kind of game I haven't, as many disappointments as there's been, that's the kind of game where I haven't seen yet. Just be physically and mentally dominated by a team that hadn't won a game in the conference season yet.
You know, I looked up the Missouri seasons, what they do when they win the division. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it – well, what were the years they won it in the Big 12 where they played for? Was that – that was 7-8, right?
In Big 12, yeah, 7-8.
7-8. Because, you know, I went back through the SEC, and they did spit the bit 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
2014 was a division title year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And in that one, they lost to number 13 Georgia, okay. They lost to number 1 Alabama, okay. You know, those were expected, but they also bombed one to Indiana
at home to a team that finished 4-8.
4-8 Hoosiers, and yet went on to win the division. So,
in the previous year, yes, South Carolina was ranked, but Missouri was 15 points spots higher, was at home, and had a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they crapped that one away.
So. Yeah, but they were at least ranked.
Yeah, they were at least a ranked team.
So I value that. I'll give them credit for that. You know. When they went in the Big 12 2008, they lost to Kansas, mm-hmm. who was unranked when they were number 12 in the country. So look, that was a 8-5 Kansas team, so not a terrible team. So I don't know that you can call that like, you know, just an absolute tank job. In 2007, the Missouri Tigers also won the division, and of course they had. No letdown on that one. The only team to beat him that year was Oklahoma. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued. I don't know. Three of the 4 years that they won the division, they just got it done. They just got it done.
Yeah.
And one of them, they did have a slip-up. So, I mean, I don't think there's any history to it. I would tend to think that if you're not good enough to beat Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt, you're not going to handle either Georgia or Florida this year.
No. I mean, you can if you wanted to, you could reason away either Wyoming or Vanderbilt. You can't do both.
Yeah, I mean, I can reason away Wyoming as first game.
Yeah, odd things happen. It's Saturday. Odd things happen in openers. This is week 7. This stuff's not supposed to happen to good teams. No. I know Wisconsin lost to a 30-point favorite, but they hadn't lost yet. They had maybe had one coming. You can't. The whole thing about this week when you heard. Barry Odom talk was that they had learned their lesson. Todd Lebo, when he was on our show with us last week, Odom talked about how they learned their lesson for Wyoming. They weren't going to have a letdown. And then they went out, and I'm not ever going to say, I don't know whether this team didn't play hard or whatever. That's something it takes a lot for me to question whether a team played hard. But sometimes when you play poorly and you're inefficient, it looks like you're not playing very hard.
Yeah.
But there's no excuse for what happened in Nashville on Saturday night.
They're not good, Vanderbilt.
No.
Let's hear the coach, Derek Mason, talking about this. This is his post game. If you haven't heard it, this is him being interviewed in the post game. And he's obviously pretty fired up about it. I'll give you my thoughts about what this means. But this is how Mason reacted to beating the Tigers.
Well, first of all, you know, honor to God. You know, it's been a rough patch, man. But I told my team this, and I want everybody to understand this. Okay. A lot of people want this job, so they think, but I'm the man that's built for this job. Every day, man, we grind. We grind. Don't question us. Don't question who we are, what we do, or how we play. We're Vanderbilt men. Commodores, Aikman, die!
I have no idea what he says at the end. Troy Aikman die or something? Like
Adrian, man. I don't know what secret.
Yo, Adrian.
Secret agent, man.
I don't have any idea. What's going on in that
question
statement.
Us?
I hear Mason is a great guy, high quality human being, and it's great that you grind, but you're making seven figures You're in the SEC football coach. You're there to win games. Vanderbilt's the toughest place in the league to win games, but he's not getting it done. He's 26-43 overall, 10-34 in the league, was 0-3 and 1-5 overall coming into that game. And he's so shocked by that that he takes to a babbling, shouting.
And apparently anchoring down was the last part that he said.
Oh,
Commodore's anchoring down.
Commodore's anchoring down!
Yeah, that is what it was.
Aikman
knowing
die?
What it is.
Commodore's Aikman dead.
Commodore's
Aikman
dead.
Aikman dead. Is that what it is? Commodore's Aikman
like
dead.
Paul is dead. Yeah.
He's anti-Troy Aikman, is what
apparently,
I'm hearing there. I don't
it's stunning.
Know about anybody else.
Aikman is dead.
First of all, can I point out maybe like when you're gonna fight in the old, you know, the old wooden ships. That the Commodore is presumably his little outfit is from the Vanderbilt Commodore. Did you have to put the anchor down to fire the cannons? Is that why it's anchor down? I'm hoping so, because otherwise you're certainly not going anywhere with the anchor down.
Which seems
so. I kind of think that that's an asinine slogan, unless it's well known from the 1800s. You got to anchor down to then fire the guns. That's the only thing I could come up with. Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. Otherwise, you know, the guns, the rappel, your boat starts moving away from where you want to stay to keep firing the cannons. So when you fire the cannons, maybe you got to throw your anchor down. That's the only thing I can figure off their slogan. I haven't cared enough to bother to even go to my Sprint phone, which is literally in my pocket when I have those thoughts and watching Vanderbilt Athletics. Never even moved to pull the phone out of my pocket and Google the answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a guy who needs to be fired. If I were the athletic director, I'd be like, okay, that's it. Because you can't. And that's what beat you. I feel for you, Tiger fans. You know, I remember a long time, 10, 12, 15 years ago, I think it was Dave Borchard, you know, would be like, oh, it's just Mizzou. It's what we do. And I was like, yeah, man, I think you just, you know, just got to get the right guy. No, it's what you do. I mean, it's how you do it.
Yeah.
Steven said this morning, you know, probably beat Florida. Won't matter because they'll turn around and lose to Kentucky like 3-0. But, you know, I tell you what. I had Mizzou all the way to number 15 in my AP top 25. I was feeling real smart as everybody was following me. I had them in the poll long before they got in there. And I was feeling real bright. I'm like, you know what? That's a good football team. That's a real good football team. And they just had a rough, you know, they made some mistakes in the opener, which happens all the time.
Yeah.
Now.
But even given a second life, I mean, the brutal hit that knocks out the quarterback, guy comes in, throws a, they end up scoring. Hey, tied. You know, you hate to see it happen. Maybe that's the wake up. They're back to tied. Nope, Vanderbilt right back down the field. Backup quarterback puts in the end zone. Like, okay. I guess we don't have it today.
Yeah, it just really disappointing. Really disappointing. I feel for the Tiger fans out there because I know how much you put into it, and it was real last week talking about them winning the division. They're not out of it, but it doesn't feel real talking about a team that's best win. Its claim to fame is that they beat a team that beat a Georgia team when they had a down week,
and then played strong against Florida for a half. I guess. Whatever it was.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think South Carolina is a good team. I think they're going to string some wins together now. They've gone through Georgia. They've gone through Florida. They've gone through Missouri. So they face the best of their division. I don't know. Maybe there's an Auburn looming out there on the other side. I don't know who they've got on the other side. Or do they have to – they already play
– let me see here.
They might have already played somebody big.
They've got – they're at Tennessee, then Vandy, App State out of conference, then at A&M, and then Clemson. At home to close out the season.
Okay, so at A&M, is that their rival game, I guess, across the that traditional fierce rival?
Yeah.
Oh, there's what was their other one they played across the into the West?
Tennessee?
No, Tennessee's in the East. I can't confirm, and I'm not even a Tiger fan. Don't
Alabama.
You play? Thank you, Alabama. So they did have Alabama. So the schedule's
it's only been 7 years. I'm still not quite sure who's in what conference.
Their schedule has been hellacious. I do think South Carolina is a good team, but they have no good wins.
Yeah.
Like all their losses are to good teams, and that's Missouri's claim to fame is that, well, we beat them.
Yeah. And mind you, if you want to throw any discredit. They also didn't hurt Missouri that they just come off of playing South Carolina, just come off playing Alabama. Just got beat. So you know that you play a really good, play the best team in the country. They're going to beat you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Then they had to go on the road.
So, I think it's interesting where we sit right now with Missouri, and you know you want to get off that treadmill. If he gets to winning and he splits it against Florida and Georgia, and brings Missouri home 9-3 and plays in a good bowl game, I don't think we're going to be talking about Barry Odom getting fired. But, man, it'd just be nice to just have one of those Pinkel seasons like Gary Pinkel had where I mentioned. In 2013, they lost to no one they shouldn't have. They no bad losses. I mean, you're number five. You should beat South Carolina, I guess. But losing 27-24 to South Carolina, that's not the end of the world. Losing to Auburn in the conference championship game, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it'd be nice to get Barry Odom one of those seasons, so there's nothing to nitpick about it. But we'll take your phone calls on it. 913-810-810. I mentioned Kansas does have moral victories, and that was one of them. Going for two turned out to be irrelevant, but Les Miles went for it, and he had it. What a day for the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Texas has a lot of injuries. I don't care. Everybody's got injuries, and you got to play with who's out there. Their backups and their backups' backups were all more highly thought of than every kid playing for Kansas, save two or three that have been recruited over the last two or three years. There's been a handful of kids. Puka Williams is a good recruit. I'm aware that there's some good talent at Kansas. But for the most part, backups irrelevant when it comes to Kansas against Texas, because – those Texas backups are supposed to be better than the Kansas frontline starters. So I don't think Kansas needs to apologize for that. At some point, you'll be beyond the moral victory. That point is not today. That was a tremendous performance from Les Miles and his squad. And I think in particular had a lot of people questioning. You know, I heard Gary Barnett last week saying, boy, I don't know why you're firing the offensive coordinator. I don't like that. And I get it. And I get where Gary Barnett's coming from. I don't like the concept of firing your offensive coordinator midseason. But I think when you take a look at all of it, as we said last week, his original choice got a head coaching job before he could get started. So this was kind of a last-minute go-round. In year one, I don't ever mind a guy running players off before he even gets going, like in the spring ball, or running players off after 1 year. I mean, to me, that's the time. Hey, kid looks around and goes, this is not what I signed up for. I don't want to be a part of this. So if guys are leaving then, I don't mind if they're players. I don't mind. I don't want to see five coaches go because you pick these guys. But this was almost kind of like a late deal situation. So I said, as long as there's no more coaches leaving, I don't have a problem. And if you're at a point where in season you go, this is not my guy, well, why would you just push on for six more games because you don't want to make a move in season? Particularly when you're going to hand it over to a guy who's already on the staff. So I get it on the surface, dismissing coaches in season you do not want to do. And if that happens next year and or the year after, then, yeah, we're going to scratch our head and be a little bit more critical. But I think it's a very understandable, not ideal, but understandable situation. And then when you go and hang 48 on Texas and move the ball at will in the second half,
yeah,
and then call your shot with the two-point conversion. And I know there was a lot of questions where, like, Puka Williams is not even on the field. Like, you're telling him you're going to throw. And sure enough, they threw. And then to a wide-open receiver.
Perfect.
So they clearly had seen something on tape that if we show this, they'll do this, and it will be wide open. And by the way, kudos to Carter Stanley, who was mocked as much as the Kansas football team was and laughed at. And I even said, no quarterback, no bet. That was my view. Carter Stanley was not a real college football quarterback. That's how he appeared previous. Listen, Les Miles might be a little goofy. He might not be as sharp as he used to be, but he's a hell of a lot better than what's been going on in Lawrence, Kansas for about a decade. Whatever's left of Les Miles, which maybe is all of it, and maybe he's reached that grandfatherly stage that we've talked about with Will Harris, and I know Will has been critical of him. Would be interesting. We'll have to talk to Will here sometime soon, get his thoughts on Les, but he didn't think Les was really sounding real sharp. He listens to every conference call every coach's press conference and gleans it for insight to get an edge on the spread. And I think that's the impression a lot of us have had, but the proof is in the pudding. On the football field, he was ready to go toe-to-toe with Tom Herman. He took a knife into a gunfight and almost won it. Now, I will say this. If I have one frustration, every time they seemed to have him where it was okay, do-or-die time, they brought nothing. They became very predictable on defense. Just rush three, sit back, soft zone. I'm like, you got to dial something up at some point. Now, listen, 50-48 moral victory, fine. And you're outgunned. You're outclassed athlete-wise. I get why you do it. I understand why you do it. That would be my only gripe, but it's 98% positive. You know, 1% didn't win. 1% I think could have been a more aggressive on some of those defensive calls. You know, they were just going right down the field on you. And the kicker is money. So if you get into range. Now, do we want to get to where KU and Carter Stanley should have taken more time off the clock? Or are we not at that point of critiquing Kansas the way we critique Andy Reid and the Chiefs? I assume we're not. So we'll let it go. I think we should carry forward a little bit of our view of Kansas. You got to score first and foremost. When you're down, you got to score. If you score early, well, yes, you'd like the score was zero on the clock. But scoring early is better than not scoring at all.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. Kansas did it. Nice day. K-State Wildcats, I think this is a big win for Chris Klieman. First of all, I'm not sure when I listened to some of College Game Day and Gary Patterson, who's friends with Stan Weber, was a guest of College Game Day with Stan and Danny. And, you know, he was talking about, and I thought somewhat, and I know Danny's all anti the transfer rules. I'm not. I love it. If you're going to make $3, $4 million as a coach, figure it out. Figure it the blank out. Or give the check back and go coach high school. Which even in high schools now, you can bounce around high schools, for God's sake. So go coach peewee ball. Do free football camps. But I got no time. Gary Patterson pointing out, we've got 50 new kids. Because of transfers and red shirts and recruiting, we got 50 new kids. You mean just like Chris Klieman?
Right.
Who's got an entire roster. And Gary Patterson was not saying, woe is me. But I just thought that was one of the things he brought up. Because he was asked by the guys about the transfer rules, and he brought it up. Well, Chris Klieman, they're all new to him and his staff. They're all new. And yet he went out there and found a way to win.
They were outgained by 100 yards, were 4 of 13 on third down, did not win the turnover battle, and still won.
Let me tell you that I'm probably going to move against K-State again in the near future, because that's exactly what the stats said after Mississippi State. And what happened? They came out and they got beat a couple of times. So look, K-State is not there. They're still a long way to go. They are still replacing a lot of pieces. They, you know, all the, was it 30 kids that transferred out in the last 18 months and the recruiting class, that's all still true. But Chris Klieman managed a game and found a way to win. And Skylar Thompson found a way to win. Always great to see the local kids do well. And Skylar Thompson found a way to win, man. Whether it was evading the rush, running for first downs, guy found a way to win. So great day for two of the schools, typical day for the other one. And then Andy Reid and the usual injury shenanigans. I don't get it. But whatever, I don't really care.
This is the ultimate test.
They're 5-2 and barreling towards another AFC West championship. Yeah. This is, listen, I critique because I've got 4 hours to fill. although I fielded a lot of conversations with people I know that seem to think Andy Reid is still a boob, and I don't for the life of me get it. Oh, he's got things that frustrate the crap out of me. Don't get me wrong.
But the preponderance of the evidence would suggest that he is anything but a boob.
Well, I'm just wondering when John Harbaugh is going to be fired. I mean, he's running the crap out of Lamar Jackson. When are they going to fire that guy? 4th and 2, he ran it with the quarterback. Fire that guy. What's he thinking? Did you see that?
Idiot.
time and time again. Why didn't he kick the field goal? Steady ran it and went for the win. I don't know what's going on there. How can you risk your quarterback? I assume Baltimore is in an uproar. And not about the usual uproar things like that you hear about in life and politics and stuff. No, I mean like over this, over John Harbaugh. I mean, what's important? Whether you do or don't run your quarterback. It's amazing. 913-810-810. We will take some of your phone calls if you'd like to grab a line. I think we got a couple open. 913-810-810.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So, just an interesting sidebar, little tip from me to you.
Yeah.
If you go to eat at a restaurant, I'm not saying this happened to me at Hen House today when we were having some lunch, but if you go to eat at a restaurant and you sit in a booth or a table or something, you know, and you know, and you're like, "Well, I'm gonna sit down," and there's somebody that's already sitting there, and they're facing a direction. You don't sit at the next table facing straight at them, because it's an awkward, uncomfortable situation for everybody involved, or at least it should be. So, if you don't find that awkward, let me tell you, the other person does. And they do not want to have to stare at their delicatessen turkey sandwich all the time, because every time they look up, you're giving them the creepy stare. Okay? Just
that happened to someone that you know?
Yes.
May have.
Say, I'm telling the story for a friend.
Yeah.
Just a nugget. You're like creeping people out. You sit face out the window like a normal person sitting by themselves. Put some headphones in. I don't care if you're listening to anything or not. Act like you're listening to something. But don't just plop down one table over, facing right at them, and give them the creeps.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
I can.
Etiquette people.
Yes. Don't be a creeper.
Yeah, it's like a little spooky.
Even if you don't mean it.
At least you never run into people like that on a daily basis.
No.
Like
they're planning their lunch at the exact same time to do it all the time to you?
Every single time you go there.
I like just sometimes getting a giant 2-liter bottle and sitting at places for a while.
Just when there is a fountain... soda machine that
can
be
not as good
refilled
of a value.
Ad nauseum for no extra charge.
A warm 2-liter bottle of soda and nothing else.
That would be odd if you ever ran into that. 913-810-810. Let's go to the phones. Tracy's waiting patiently. You're on the program, Tracy. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking this call, man.
You bet.
Hey, I was just curious. I have a question for you and a comment. The question first, real quick. Did you vote Oklahoma number 4 or 5 this week?
I love how you always you pin me down.
I know, buddy.
No, I'm happy because it's out there. There's a site that has it. But, like, you never just ask me, where'd you put it? It's always a loaded question with the, well, clearly it's one of these two. And like, if I don't, then I'm a moron. I think they're going to be at 6. Let me look here.
At 6?
They're at 5. Alabama, okay. Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and then Penn State, Florida, Auburn, Oregon, Georgia.
I'll let you off the hook, man, this time, but you got to get them 4, man. Clemson ain't playing that good. But anyway, now here's
who has Oklahoma beaten?
Who has Alabama beaten? They ain't beating no one either.
I would agree.
No one either.
Trust
me. And then here's my thing. Even if Alabama does get a loss, my friend, they're going to find a way to keep Alabama in there.
I don't think that's as much of a lock this year. No, because I think while they're number one, there are a lot of people like me that, listen, I like that team, and particularly winning when Tua's down, that they're going to actually get credit for that. They've got, one more and then, or do they have a bye, and then
No, they
LSU.
Got one more, and I think they got LSU on either November 2nd or November 9th.
LSU's coming up, so if they have to play him without, you know, they're going to get credit for that. That's probably your worst-case scenario as an OU fan, is if they play LSU without, then they could probably drop that game. They're going to be like, well, with Tua, they would have played. So, yeah. I do think that there's a lot of – the most impressive resume – right now is LSU and Ohio State, the two
Ohio
of them.
State. I will grant you that.
I think LSU's is actually more impressive.
I think Ohio State is good on both sides of the ball myself. They don't have any weaknesses, not as far as I can see. Alabama this year, their defense isn't the defense of old to me. It's not anyway. And I think Alabama and Clemson can be beat this year. I really do.
Oh, I do too. I think it's much more wide open. And listen, if you wanted to tell me that at the end of the season, Penn State, Oklahoma, Ohio State, or LSU, or a couple of those schools – end up being definitively better, decisively better, like they roll through one of those two. I would agree. Alabama's playing four true freshmen, granted highly recruited true freshmen, but four true freshmen on that front seven that they weren't playing. They were only planning on playing one of them. They've taken on a lot of water. They're great offensively. They're going to have to – they're more like an Oklahoma right now, or the old Oklahoma, and now Oklahoma's playing defense. So, listen, it's going to be a lot of fun with a lot of big games still to go. OU-Baylor is now looming as a really big game. That's out there for the Sooners. But Alabama's got LSU and Auburn, and that's it.
Hey, real quick, Ren. Hey, my comment is I think Andy Reid might be feeling just a little bit of pressure. I mean, this is just me from what I saw on the sideline. I think he might rush Patrick Mahomes back this week. If Patrick says that, coach, I'm okay, I'm good to go. Because do you remember what Clark Hunt said at the beginning of the year? He said Super Bowl or bust. And I think the whole coaching staff is feeling that. And Clark Hunt means them words, too. Because last week, whenever they lost, I think one of the news stations reported that Clark Hunt had a bad look on his face when he was in the locker room. And so I don't think it would be a good business sense to rush him back because he is a franchise. But I'm thinking Andy Reid might put that kid out there this week because he's feeling the pressure. I'll listen to you off the air, my friend.
All right, great to hear from you, Tracy. Don't be a stranger. I as we often do, I'm going to disagree on this one. I think Andy Reid, this is just let's see if I can make him burn some reps in case Patrick Mahomes might play. Why would you? He's going to be as stationary as Matt Moore if he goes out there with a bad knee on one leg and a bad ankle. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell of him playing anytime in the next two games. After that, let's see what happens. But I don't think there's any way he plays in the next two games, and I think this is just Andy Reid jerking around with the injury list and trying to burn some reps off the defense of the Green Bay Packers. That's all that I think is going on. I do not believe Andy. Listen, if Andy Reid was going to jeopardize somebody, he'd make Sammy Watkins get out there. How many soft tissue injuries does Sammy Watkins have to have in the NFL before he has to go play? If Sammy Watkins isn't out there playing, you don't have anything to worry about, in my opinion, about Patrick Mahomes being pushed or even allowed on his own to go out and play when he's not ready. Bando, you're in the program. What's up, Bando?
Well, before my question, I wish you would have dropped the nugget on me before I sit there and stare at Billy Butler at Casey Joe's this afternoon. But anyway, my question is,
no
is
idea.
Maybe it's just me, is the targeting call against the MU player. And I'm a big MU fan, but I got to admit, I was just sick to my stomach to see that kid target that quarterback like that. And I'm probably overreacting, but I just feel like that. As sloppy as they were and not paying too attention, I just feel like if you could just go in there after the game and say, gentlemen, I need your attention, and then that young man, you're no longer on this team, thanks for playing. I was just sick to my stomach with that cheap shot.
And I think there are a lot of people that agree with you on that, Bando, and I appreciate the call, and thank you.
I don't think you're overreacting based on the people that I've heard, Missouri fans from especially.
Clemson had a kid that was hit with a targeting penalty. He rode home on the – he did not fly home. He rode home on the equipment bus with the team managers. Was that enough? I don't know. Did you kick him off the team?
I mean, I guess there's a distinction between being a dirty player and having a dirty play.
Yes, there is.
And that was a dirty
and I
play.
Can't tell you I know the history right. enough to say what that was. But the penalties – the penalties are real.
Yeah.
Let's do have some compassion, obviously, for the young man that was injured. But also, I mean, this is still, they are still of the age where they grew up with, you got, what was it? You got jacked? Mm-hmm. What was the segment they used to have on Monday Night Football? I mean, you get ready to watch Monday Night Football, and there was Tom Jackson.
Yeah.
You got jacked up. You got jacked up. And then they would show guys getting knocked bonkers. And, you know, we all grew up with it, but so do these kids. We're not that far removed.
I mean, NFL's hardest hits. They sell the video, and then they, you know, fine Chuck Cecil $500,000 for doing what they go then and sell in the offseason.
So, listen, I hope the kid would like to have that play back. But it is a rough game. You're not going to take all of it out. But you'd like to think we can get to a point to where those plays don't happen, that there would be a mutual respect for those that go out there and compete. I think for a lot of the guys, there is. Let's talk to Jam and Jeff. You're in the program. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, Saran, good afternoon, man. Thanks for taking my call and doing the incredible job you always do at 8:10.
Thank you.
Listen, real quick, I was reading this morning, Saran, that Jalen Ramsey wanted more than anything else to come here to Kansas City and play, and that the Chiefs and the Jags had the deal worked out and in place for him to come here, but the Jags pulled the cord on it at the last second because they didn't want to trade him to an AFC team. So they traded him to the NFC West, who the AFC South plays next year. So my question is, between now and the trade deadline, Saran, are they going to, Brett Veach going to try to work some sort of a trade for an impact player? I know we've kind of all lost track of that with everything going on with Patrick Mahomes, but he's going to have to do something because even though the defense played well against Denver, they're going to have to step it up even more next Sunday night against the Packers. That's it, man.
All right, brother.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate the call. Some of the most dangerous words in GMing I've ever heard. Has to, must. That's when you make bad deals. He doesn't have to do anything. What he will have to do is line up and play in 2020, though. And that's the part that when you make a statement like that, that you're completely forgetting. First of all, I vehemently disagree that the Chiefs had a deal done with the Jaguars. Absolutely not. From the conversations I've had, there was no way that they were going to get anywhere near that price. And I've talked to other people in the league, and they say the only team, in fact, the Rams may very well have been bidding against themselves for the last couple of weeks, and the only team that would ever pay that much is the team that's got to sell personal seat licenses over the next couple of years to fill a massive new stadium. And that nobody else was even considering going anywhere near that price for Jalen Ramsey. Now, I understand why people would think maybe the Chiefs did. Giving a first and a second for Frank Clark to then give him $100 million says that you will go down that road. But having just done that, I think the Chiefs even can look at their roster and say 20 and 21 look like they could be pretty lean if we don't start hitting on some draft picks. We need more draft picks, not less. And they've only got five next year. And I think they realized. I think the Chiefs made their moves in the offseason. And will they, you know, you said he has to. I don't know that he has to. Will he try? He'll absolutely try. But at a price that's right. And I'll, again, until somebody unseats them, say, let's talk about how the New England Patriots do things. They go grab guys on the cheap. Jalen Ramsey was top, top dollar. Top dollar. We'll see how it works.
They do. New England does spend a little bit more. They spend more on their secondary than you on their front seven, but they not that kind of money.
The Rams, to me, when you make that kind of price, when you pay that kind of price, it's almost championship or bust. And if they get there, fine. If they come up short and they sell a lot of tickets and they have to reload, that's okay too. But this franchise is not at that point. They have a lot of needs. What needs do the Chiefs have in next year's draft? Well, let's start with the football, okay, where it begins. Center, left guard, before long, left tackle, backup tight end, third wide out, because Sammy Watkins will be gone, running back, Anthony Sherman's not getting any younger if you want to have a fullback, but he's probably fine right there. Defensive tackle, unless Derek Nnadi's going to play the way he did last year. But still, I think you need another quality defensive tackle. I haven't seen it, Colin Saunders, yet. Defensive end. Chris Jones is not signed. So along the defensive line, there's need. Three linebackers.
Yeah.
One or two corners. A punter.
Yeah.
Because Dustin Colquitt's not getting any younger.
Yeah.
So at some point, you want to turn the corner on that.
Be 15
particularly if you find a sixth or seventh round punter or a rookie free agent punter that you can bring in at the league minimum versus $3 million for Dustin Colquitt. They got a lot of needs. They need more picks, not less. So will they do something? Yeah, I think they will. I think they will try. Do I think they will get something done? Probably not, because most of the NFL doesn't. But they'll look. They'll shop. If Patrick Peterson's out there, I'd go a second-round pick on him and go all in on this year. That's really the spot. And Ndamukong Suh, Leonard Williams of the Jets, D-line, corner, those are the spots I'm looking. If I can land one of those things, then I'm interested.
The teams don't generally put guys at premium positions available unless there's some kind of issue. So what you'd spend
but I think
to get
more,
that
I think more teams are now buyers and sellers in football like they've never been before. They're
probably
more
true.
Of a baseball mindset.
Yeah.
And so we've seen some guys move.
More so now than 10 years ago.
We haven't seen a lot of them, but we've seen some of them move. 913-3810-810. More of your phone calls next year in the program.
New time, same team. The program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, taking your phone calls here in hour number one. We'll talk to Nate Taylor coming up from The Athletic. Two-minute drill at 4, Trent Green at 5. More of your phone calls later in the program, but right now let's talk to Ditto. You're in the program, Ditto. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, there was mention of Colin Kaepernick the other day.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, Colin Kaepernick's been out of the league for how long?
3 years now, I think.
And he would be more viable than Matt Moore, who's only been out a year?
Well, I think it would take him some time to get up to speed, but that was the point. If you're talking about when I brought it up, then surely you heard me say, well, this is something you should have done in training camp if you were going to go down that road so that he would be knowing the offense. To go get him now would probably take him a minimum of 2 to 4 weeks to be up to speed before he would be better than Matt Moore. So if you are going to lose the quarterback for the rest of the year, yes, I absolutely think Colin Kaepernick would play better quarterback over the last quarter of the season than Matt Moore or Chad Henne. But you would need that time to get him ready.
I might agree with that, but fortunately, and it's great that we're going to have Patrick Homer sooner than that. Now, another comment that we might be food for thought, do you think the Giants might be interested in some draft picks to pick up Eli Manning?
And of course they would. They would literally take a box of hefty trash bags for him. Why would you take on $5.5 million for a quarterback that's cooked, though? Trust me, Colin Kaepernick will play better than Eli Manning right now. So why would you take on the $5.5 million that you'd owe on the second half of his salary this year when you can just save that money, roll it into next year's cap, where you've already got $190 million on the books without drafting anybody or signing any free agents? Why wouldn't you go ahead and just save that money so you can roll that cap room into next year so you can make some moves for next year? Why take Eli Manning? I don't see where Eli Manning's any better than Matt Moore or Chad Henne right now, and Henne's going to be back maybe next week or the week after, and now Mahomes might be back early as well. Matt, you're in the program. What's up, Matt?
Hey, great show. My day really don't start till 2 o'clock. So.
Good man.
Hey, you know, I've been a Mizzou fan, and, you know, I always – you know, we pretty much agree on what Mizzou's doing, but I'm just not – I don't know your opinion on Bryant, and I'm just not sold on him. And, you know, I remember you talking about Barry Odom, you know, why aren't more Missouri fans, you know, on with his game plan and everything. It's just, I'm sorry, I'm just not sold on Barry, and I'm not sold on this quarterback. I just wanted your thoughts on it.
Well, you know, you're preaching the choir. I'm the guy who told everybody to calm down because I've seen Brian play at Clemson in the ACC because I probably watch more ACC football than most people because my school's in the ACC, and I have not seen it from Bryant. The Wyoming game was a rough one to watch if you watched him back there. I think he just waits for the play to break down, then wants to scramble around and play, you know, backyard football. Now I think he's gotten better as the season's progressed and he spent more time in the offense.
That was a step back on Saturday.
Yeah, so sure. you're preaching to the choir. Brian is what he is. And it's, you know, look, it's a failure to land the quarterback in recruiting, although they like the young kid that they've got now. Mm-hmm. But it's a pretty good bailout in the meantime. He is what he is. I mean, not everybody has, you know, I mean, Gary Pinkle was tremendous at making sure he always had the quarterback. But as far as Odom goes, you know, I would like people to be on board with Barry Odom because he's a Mizzou guy. So I think he deserves, and Matt, thank you for the call. I think he deserves every ounce of patience that a Missouri fan can give him. And that starts with not just being like, Odom sucks the first time they have a bad loss. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing. I understand there are lots of people, and I've said it. I've got a number of friends that were Missouri fans that even last year were telling me, look, all this is doing is prolonging the inevitable. We're going to end up having to replace him. They didn't like the big finish last year because they didn't think he was going to be good enough. And so, you know, it was like that with Gary Pinkel. And it's up to Barry Odom to have one of those years where you go, okay, this is our guy. Put two of those years back to back. I will say this, you know, fighting for a division championship, that's pretty good for Missouri. I mean, you're not winning division titles or conference titles every year.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, Aaron Rodgers, the third QB to have 400 yards, 5 passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown in a game. Name either of the other two. Brought to you by Good Sense.